As we begin this morning, a question for you. What does it cost to be a disciple of Jesus? Anyone want to take a stab at it? Everything. Oh man, you guys are like, we're done. Let's go. Now, according to Merriam-Webster, a disciple is someone who accepts and assists in sharing the doctrines of another person. With that in mind, a disciple of Jesus would be a person who accepts and assists in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. We would call such people Christians or Christ followers, followers of the way, believers. If you were to go up to just about any person who calls themselves a Christian and you were to ask them if they believed that they were a true disciple of Christ, a majority of those people would stand up and say, yeah, I'm a disciple. They would do so without really even giving a second thought to the requirements that Jesus set forth for those who wanted to follow him. They might even be insulted if you challenged their claim and said, are you really a true disciple? You see, there is a cost in being a disciple of Christ, a cost that most people don't think about and most people don't understand. In an issue of The Message magazine, the man, Jeff Farmer, who was the president of the magazine back then, he said large crowds followed Jesus, but he was not recruiting cowards. He set the discipleship bar high. Many believers in the church assume that they are Christ's disciples. They are not, at least not by Christ's standards. Today, as we continue our series in Luke, we're going to be looking at verses 23 through 27 of chapter 9 in a message that is titled, The Cost of Being a Disciple. Jesus' words in Luke 23 through 27 take us right to the heart of the matter. What is really needed to be a disciple of Christ? So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. They'll be up here. You can follow that way if you want. Or you can just listen. Listen to what is said. Starting at 23, it says, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly I tell you, some of you who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. Now, a little bit later on in the book of Luke, Jesus kind of says the same thing. In Luke chapter 14, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, I'm not advocating here that we're supposed to hate our parents or our wives or our husbands or children or even our families. The point that Jesus was trying to make here in this portion of Scripture is that we must place him above all other relationships. In order for us to be Christ's disciples, we must put him first. You see, he must be Lord of all. If he is not Lord of all, then he is not Lord at all. He must be the Lord of your marriage, the Lord of your family, the Lord of your friendships. He must be the Lord of your job and the Lord of your finances. Even the Lord of your recreation. He must be Lord of all. Makes me wonder, if an armed gunman came in here and asked us if we were Christians, how many of us would be willing to stand up and say, yes, we are? Would we be willing to die, or would we be willing to be a martyr for Jesus Christ? Here's a video clip. Watch this.
test we could all hope to pass, but none of us would want to take. Faced with the choice to deny God and live, for her there was one choice to make. This was her time, this was her dance. She lived every moment, left nothing to chance. She swam in the sea, drank of the deep, embraced the mystery of all she could be. And this was her time. This was the time, this was the dance. She lived every moment, left nothing to chance. She swam in the sea, drank of the deep, embraced the mystery of all she could be. What if tomorrow, and what if today? Faced with the question, oh, what would you say?
Some of you might remember that. Almost 16 years ago, it'll be 16 years next month, two young men went into a high school, Columbine High School, and they went around shooting people who were athletes, jocks, or blacks, or they went up to people and asked them if they were a Christian, and if you responded yes, they shot you. And the story is about Cassie Bernal, who responded yes. And Michael W. Smith was so touched by her story that he actually wrote this song, and they've made a movie about it that called She Said Yes. Would we be willing to stand up? Bring it a little closer to today's day. Some of you may have been watching the news, and not too long ago, ISIS killed 21 men. 21 Christians, took them out by the sea and beheaded them. And the stories, if you follow, there could be as many as 262 Christians who have been taken captive by ISIS just recently and are being held in captivity right now. Christians all around the world are being persecuted. Would we be willing to stand up and say, yes, we are Christian, if it cost us our life? See, Jesus, he set the bar for discipleship very high for those who would follow. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Is it possible that the gate and the road are actually narrower than people thought? That is why Jesus continued in Matthew chapter 7. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" And that is why John reports in John chapter 6, "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and they no longer followed him." And that is why the young man in Matthew chapter 19 could not follow Jesus, and he went away sad. You see, if he is not Lord of all, then he is not Lord at all. The cost of being a disciple of Jesus is making Jesus the Lord of your life, Lord of everything. But for some reason, that is one of the most difficult accomplishments for many of us. Throughout the history, mankind has failed at putting God first. But why is it so difficult? It's so difficult because since the beginning of time, man has wanted to fulfill his own personal agenda, to meet his own needs, to take care of his own welfare, to always look out after number one, numero uno. While we are seeking our own will, God is pleading with us to seek after his will. Too often we want to think about what I want, what I am, what I will. See, this way of thinking is actually the opposite of what Jesus taught, both in words and in actions. When we become so consumed with I, it becomes impossible for God to work in us and through us. Jesus knew the importance of knowing and doing the will of God. You see, he and the Father were one. And here is something that is really cool. We, each one of us, you and I, and the Father, can be one as well. You know, that's what Jesus prayed for. He actually prayed for the disciples, and he prayed for this in John chapter 17. It is Jesus' desire. It is his heart's cry for you and I, each one of us, to become physical, emotional, and spiritual conduits of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is what Jesus was. He was so totally consumed and surrendered to God that he went to the cross and he gave his life as a ransom for ours, to pay a penalty that we could not pay. Jesus was so totally surrendered to the will of the Father, and you and I are supposed to be surrendered to the will of the Father as well. But you see, there is a problem with that. Surrender is not a popular word in our society today. When we think of surrender, we think of weakness. We think of giving up. We think of losing. According to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it is one of the paradoxes of Christianity that true strength is actually found in weakness. Jesus himself embodied the world's idea of weakness. even to the point of surrendering himself to an excruciating death, a death on a cross. And when Jesus did surrender, God's power was visible. See, God's power is most visible in the midst of suffering, humility, weakness, and especially when we are surrendered to His will. But how can we get to the point in our lives where we are totally surrendered to God? Well, it starts in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. The first thing that we must do is to make a definite decision to come after Christ, to follow him. See, you cannot hold on to the world and hold on to heaven with the other hand. Either you're going to follow God or you're not. We need to make a clear and a definite decision, just like Joshua did. The one that he made in Joshua chapter 24, where he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This decision is made when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we allow God to forgive us our sins. And then once that decision is made, we can move on. Then we must deny ourselves of the things in our lives that oppose the will of God. When Jesus says that we deny ourselves, he means that we must remove from our lives anything that is damaging to our relationship between the Father and the child. It may be pleasures, profit, connections, practices, friends, whatever it is. Anything that is damaging to our walk with God needs to be removed. This is the point where very many people turn from Christianity because it is just way too difficult, just way too much to give up. This command of Jesus is so very important to the Christian life. It's so important that it cannot be ignored. Because if we ignore that, it would cost us our very souls. If we want to be a disciple of Christ and walk in the blessing and the power of God, then it will require us to practice self-denial, complete dedication, and a willing obedience in our commitment to Christ. We cannot afford to lose the victory. The victory that we have been promised if we follow God and not our own will. You see, it's not about me. It's not about I. It is about surrendering to God's will. You know, Jesus had to face the exact same thing in the Garden of Gethsemane. After the Last Supper with the disciples and he went to the garden to pray, he said, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." But then he prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." See, once we get to that point, we get that down, then we can move on to the next point, to the next part of the scripture, that we must take up our cross. See, Jesus, he could not take up his cross until he was able to deny himself. The cross symbolizes pain and suffering. But that is what Jesus did. He took up his cross and he carried it to his death. Taking up your cross is the total dedication of your life to God every day. Not necessarily in just a physical sense, but rather the total sacrifice of self daily for God. It means saying, "Whatever you want, God, I will do. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll go where you want me to go. I will do what you want me to do." Daily, nailing our own desires to the cross. Whatever he wants with my life, That is what must be done with it. What I want no longer matters. But I give myself for him, just as he gave himself for me. Despite the fact that his human nature didn't want to do it. He surrendered his will, and he did it. And he died on a cross for me. He died on a cross for each one of you. Once we get to that, then we can move on to the last point, and we must have a dauntless determination and follow him. Jesus is recorded as using these exact words, follow me, 20 times in the four Gospels. And most of the time when Jesus said it, the people followed him. But there were a few times that they did not. See, God doesn't desire for us to just observe from the sidelines. An observer is nothing more than a religious window shopper. Someone always looking for a great deal. Something better. Something that they would love to have. But they're not willing to pay the price to get it. The church today is full of people who will observe and maybe even tag along for a while. But once their comfort zone starts to get threatened, then they stop following. They may attend church. They may even listen to the message. But they never allow the power of the Word of God to catapult them into a deeper relationship with God. A relationship that could change their lives forever. They're content being in the shallow water, in the kiddie pool. And they never dive in deep and get in deep with God. And the result of that is a church with no substantial witness or testimony. Anything that would ever draw others into the community, into the saving power of God's grace. We've lost our light. We've lost our saltiness. The Apostle Paul, he understood what it was like to deny himself and to take up his cross daily. And as he was addressing the church in Philippi, in Philippians chapter 3, he says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost everything. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes. To know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. Powerful words from the Apostle Paul. You see, a true disciple of Jesus Christ is the person who has counted the cost and surrenders all that they can possess, all that God has to offer. Surrendering it all to him. You see, God wants us to follow. He doesn't want us to walk away or to give up. He wants us to stick with it. His desire is that we surrender to him. And when we do, he promises to take care of everything else. Are you willing to have a bulldog tenacity? A never give up mentality? A do or die attitude to be a disciple of Christ? It means saying no to temptation and sin. It means saying no to the enemy. It means tearing down the things in our lives that build up walls between us and God. It is a daily event. It is lining our life up with the Word of God and with His will and following Him. It means obedience to God. It may mean that we have to suffer. But it also means that we will reign with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As the worship team comes up and they lead us in a time of worship, would you be willing to count the cost? To evaluate what it is? And would you be willing to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ?